episode 231 of the Quarantine Cast, recorded on February 26th, 2021. I'm doing good today, guys. Maybe even great. I know I might be getting cocky if I say great, but I'm bridging on great right now.
Yeah, no, you're just fucking... You're Job before the story of Job. Just like, I mean... Everything's great. Why would anything bad happen to me? This is fantastic.
I'm a little worried it's going to swing in the other direction at some point. But you know what? I
wouldn't worry about that. Things.
Nah, look it up.
You're at the top and things will stay there.
Yeah. It can only go up from here.
At this point, I've just learned to appreciate the time in between the other shoe dropping. You know? Just soak in this W while I can. I am alluding to a couple of things, chief among them, everyone listening, I wrote an article for a fantastic website called Anime Feminist about Chainsaw Man and how it handles platonic relationships really well and just the weird, uncomfortable, problematic parts of growing up and adolescence that I'm really proud of and am thrilled that it's out there now. Gonna be a link in the description down below, but yeah, I got into writing initially just to engage more with the media I'm passionate about, and if you listen to this, you know I am very passionate about Chainsaw Man. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Andrew, you read the whole thing. Time to refute each of his points
no.
one by one by saying it's bad.
No, I read Lucas's article and I really enjoyed it. And I thought he did a good job of kind of showing the different relationships in Chainsaw Man. And there might be a few things I'm like, I had a very slightly different take on that, but it would really get down to, like, you know, two guys who, you know, like, who would win in a fight, Captain America or Iron Man, like, territory, like, that sort of thing. Like, Lucas did a really good job of writing the article. It was really well written. I liked a lot of his points. I liked how he, you know, kind of called out, like, certain things in the, you know, manga that didn't work and certain things that did. And they're like, and he said, you know, yeah, Denji finally realized, you know, shit after being kind of a tool and a piece of shit along the way. And you're like, yeah, I know, if they, you know, kind of change up the dynamic as the comic goes on and, you know, make these characters more romanticized, then it would really undercut a lot of what they were doing beforehand. And yeah, I like that. I really liked his approach.
I now realize they made a whole movie about Captain America and Iron Man fighting.
I don't know why that was the one
really
I chose.
Didn't really answer that question, did they?
At the very end, yeah. They literally fought in a ice prison weird thing.
I mean,
but Winter Soldier was there,
right? Yeah,
yeah.
That wasn't a 1v1, me bro. It was who would win.
I think that's your answer.
Captain America and his buddy.
The fact that it was pretty even with Captain America and his buddy versus Iron Man, I think, answers the question.
Because yeah, I think that fight ended with, yeah, like, the Winter Soldier got his arm blown off. He's unconscious or something. Captain America is getting beaten down, and Iron Man's about to, like, land the finishing blow, and then the Winter Soldier just kind of, like, grabs his leg, which distracts him long enough for Captain America to, like, get up and turn him off. So, yeah, I think Iron Man definitely won that fight.
I mean, did he win it in the same way that the Viper won the fight?
Yeah, absolutely. Mountain. Yeah,
it's like he won it, but
it didn't end up well for him.
Scoreboard tells a different tale, guys.
Yeah,
it's a boxer who, like, the very beginning of the fight gets a hit right in the nose. The bone is working its way into his brain, but he doesn't know it yet. He beats the other boxer, doesn't kill him or anything, but yeah, beats him down, and he's on the ground. He's like, yeah, I win. And in that moment, the bone goes into his brain and he dies.
It's kind of like the end of, it's kind of like Rocky 1, where, yeah, Apollo won that fight, but yeah, somebody's gonna be, nah, Rocky, he's a winner.
Rocky was the people's champion. That was the whole thing. Apollo won the fight, but it was so uneven from the very beginning. The fact that it was close was like Rocky won. Like that's how it works, basically. It's like if Alabama were to play Appalachian State, and Appalachian State, like Alabama had to win in a last second, like blocked field goal that they took for a touchdown to narrowly avoid losing. Like that, yeah. At the end of the day, who really wins there? Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of the situation more than anything.
Okay.
But yeah, and then they did it again in the second movie though, and like it was like, well, wait. I don't think you can do it twice, because at that point Rocky was like a name.
Wait, I thought Rocky won in the second movie.
Did he win outright?
I think he won outright.
Rocky 2 Wikipedia. I mean, I remember Rocky 3 had Clubber Lang.
Right.
That was fucking Mr. T coming in there, getting all sorts of angry. Let's see. Creed is well ahead on points. Only needs to stay away from Balboa to win a fight by decision. Oh, but then Creed didn't want the fight to end the way it did the first time.
Yep.
So he ignored his trainer's pleas to stay back, and it tries to knock him out. In the final round, Rocky unleashes a counter, punches, turns the tide. They're exhausted. Trade punches until they knock each other down. Rocky is able to get up at 9 while Apollo collapses from exhaustion, giving Rocky the win by knockout.
Literally fucking Dragon Ball. Literally fucking Dragon Ball. They're both on the ground. Okay. Whoever gets up first is the winner.
What was first, Lucas?
I think the Dragon Ball manga might have been first. When did Rocky 2 come out?
1978.
It's gonna be close.
Is it? Is it though? 1984 was the very first edition of Dragon Ball.
Okay.
So, and I don't know when the episode when did it air
you're in referencing. Japan.
I don't know you're referencing with the that specific moment, but I don't think it was the first frame of the comic. Imagine that was sometime in the story.
It was might have been like chapter 30. Might have been like 4 months in.
That's fair.
Yeah. Also, that's also a trope even back then. Like that. Yeah. It's a thing.
Definitely the double knockout.
Mm-hmm.
Like Talladega Nights.
Yeah.
They both crash their car and they just gotta run.
I.
Which means Cal Naughton Jr. wins.
He wrecked at third, so okay.
He wrecked in third. Cal Naughton Jr., the Magic Man.
And El Diablo.
so dumb.
Yeah, but the other stuff giving me a high today. Pokemon presentation in the morning, just Pokemon whipping its dick out, slapping Sony and Blizzard's presentations earlier in the week and giving people everybody what they wanted, but Pokemon fans will still find a way to be mad about it, but I don't care about them right now. And then, yeah, I got my copy of Bravely Default 2 today, so I'm just gonna curl up tonight and see you guys Monday, maybe.
Yeah, I thought Lucas was going to... You were gonna be, like, completely incommunicado for 2 weeks while you played through Bravely Default beginning to end.
Yeah,
right?
are we going to be doing duo casts here for the next month?
Possibly. Well, you know, I think I'm going to go the opposite route from what I usually do on media. I'm going to make this one last, you know? Going to pump the brakes a little bit, work into my
Lucas
routine an hour or two every day
on this video game.
Edging himself so that the final release is
that last boss fight, it's gonna be a nightmare.
I this is a fucking weird, very specific to us cut, but the final boss of the original Bravely Default is pronounced Ouroboros, but we realized we've been calling it Ouroboros now, and I don't know what words mean, really, at this point anymore. It's all just breaking down.
Yeah. Mm. Have you booted it up yet?
No. I know once I start, I'm not going to be... That's what I am doing until I have to go to bed tonight.
Once you pop, you just can't stop.
Yep. The first hit... Hooked for life.
What if it's bad? Has it crossed your mind?
Wasn't there a whole thing, like, there's a bunch of mechanics in there that the developers didn't want, but, like, the people find, like, the head game company, like, made them put it in? I don't know.
I've seen no Bravely Default news.
I did not see anything like that.
I saw one tweet. That was it. Okay.
I'll find out.
One more tweet than me?
I mean,
I'm just saying, it feels like the possibility has not even crossed your mind, and it would be a trip if you're like 2 hours in, just like, you know, I think I just want to watch some TV. Like,
is that
not how, really?
Is that how I'm strucken down from my on high? Is that the irony in the monkey's paw wish?
I mean, he doesn't ever have to tell us, Ryan. We're not
just gonna lie.
I mean, what are we? I know I'm not going to like dive into whether this game is good or not, and we're certainly not going to play it. So like,
yeah, but Lucas is going to, if he doesn't, we're gonna remember. We're gonna be like, wait, Lucas, where's that Bravely Default 2 deep dive?
But yeah, he could just lie.
Oh, and like fake a deep dive?
Yeah, like he could say anything. I think the themes... He could say anything when the purple bird lady and the fish boy finally come to terms with each other. It was a really good moment. And then, yeah, they have to go fight their egg dad. I mean, like, I'm just mad living. And if he said that, I wouldn't not believe him.
Also, is that what Lucas's deep dives sound like to you? Just like, when this character met this character, it was cool.
No, I'm saying... I'm saying that, like, he could say anything that is ridiculous, and neither of us would call him out.
You know he's going to dive into the themes. I don't know. I think it might be tougher to fake than you might think. The theme of youthful innocence lost just really came through.
I challenge you then, Lucas. Play this game. Enjoy it. Do your deep dive. I'm sure you're going to have a great time. Also, come up with a fake one. And then do it truth and a lie.
Here we go.
No, no, it's just one truth and one lie, and we have to figure out which one's real.
No, the only criticism I've heard of the game so far is that apparently it's pretty difficult. To which I say to that reviewer, who I will not name because I don't want to give them shade, and I'm mostly saying this in jest, I'm sorry you weren't strong enough to appreciate this game.
Looks like someone didn't get good.
Yeah. It's Cuphead all over again. Games reviewers don't even know how to play games.
Wow.
I could do their job. I'm good at games. That means I can do their job.
I play Dota 12 hours a day. I'd be so good at reviewing video games.
All right, that is all of my nonsense. Thank you for letting me expunge that from my system so that I can replace it all with Bravely Default 2 as I soak that up. What do you guys have going on?
You want to expunge all the good vibes from your system?
I mean, is there a max capacity of good vibes I can contain, or?
I don't think so.
Oh, give them
Do
back
you
then.
Think so? That sounds like you got something going on with you if you feel like you can only feel so good and then you kind of start to max out.
All right, both you guys and all the listeners who listen to this, you gotta do like the, give me the good vibes, spirit bomb style. I gotta get those back. All right, okay. I'm feeling it.
Give me your energy, whatever that emoji is, or emoticon. Lucas, take my energy.
Outside the Dragon Ball panel I went to in New York City in 2017, a guy was doing that, and people were getting into it. They're having a good time. Props to that guy.
God, your life that you live is so different from ours.
I
completely forgot that you did that, and now I'm... Yep.
It's all coming back.
I reported on New York Comic Con once. Neat.
Yeah. And a guy
yeah.
was giving people energy and they liked it. And it wasn't creepy or weird.
Same energy.
Are you gonna go to oh. Are you gonna go to San Diego Comic-Con now that you might be moving to SoCal? Couple hours drive, little jaunt.
I mean, kind of corporate now, but sure, why not?
Is New York not?
New York's a little more raw. New York, there was half of that building was still just artists selling shit, and also local people had a whole dedicated area of the exhibit floor where they were just peddling crap, and that was kind of awesome.
Yeah, that sounds great too, but there's nothing inherently wrong with going to the biggest event has like all the things, even though, yeah, it might have lost the down-home country charm of
yeah.
Comic-Con.
You know what? Yeah, I was a little judgmental there. Two totally different beasts. You know what you're getting into going to, yeah.
It's like going to Disney World and being like, wow, $20 chicken or turkey legs? Where am I? It's like, well,
you're in Disney World.
Like, yeah, that's where you went. Like, it's kind of, that's part of it.
By the same token, like going to Harry Potter World at Universal and saying, well, why isn't there just more of it? And it, you know, man, it's what it is. Come on. You get it.
I've been to Universal a lot, and I've never been to the Harry Potter section.
Good for you.
I went once, I was like a freshman in high school. My sister is a huge Harry Potter fan. And when she graduated from high school, we all took a trip down to Universal and she really wanted to go to the Harry Potter land. Also, I liked Harry Potter, not nearly as much as she did.
She spoiled it for you though. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was the whole thing. Yeah, it was a good time. I don't think anyone complained. I did see, yeah, those comments online, though, of like, this should be bigger. Like, it's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you wanted, like, six city blocks. Did you want, like, a whole-ass town?
You probably wanted Hogwarts and then, like, Hogsmeade and, like, just live the world of Harry Potter.
Yeah, like, why can't I just be in Harry Potter? Like, this Star Wars land isn't the size of a whole galaxy. Why can't I travel amongst the stars?
They want to take over a small Anglo-Saxon island and just format it to be Hogwarts and the surrounding area.
Hi, we've terraformed one of the Florida Keys and kicked off all the locals and turned this into Hot Harry Potter Land.
Hot Harry Potter Land? No, they terraformed it. They have artificial weather.
Oh, yeah,
that makes
they got like a
dreary
whole thing.
And gloomy. It's always like 55 degrees and you kind of got to wear the like warmer robes.
Much like the Galapagos, Star Wars is a universe filled with variety and different kinds of creatures, which is why we have turned the Galapagos into Star Wars World.
Yeah.
Jesus.
We wanted to
We've, using artificial selection, we have turned the Galapagos finches into... What are those fucking pet pogsies?
Oh, porgs.
Whatever the fuck.
Porgs. Oh.
We've turned them all into porgs.
They're, oh my god.
Galapagos finches no longer exist. They're just all porgs now.
Here at Harry Potter Land, we wanted to really get the feel of Northern United Kingdom. So we've eliminated all food that tastes good.
Oh. Shots fucking fired.
I remember it is canonical in Harry Potter now that... Yeah, they have food that just tastes bad sometimes, and that's the appeal of it for some reason.
Those beans?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, this could taste like
shit.
Buttered popcorn, or yeah, actual shit. Isn't that great? I mean, like, if every single flavor that exists is in those beans, most of them will taste bad.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few things that taste good, and like...
Did they specify? I feel like they'd specify.
They're called every flavor.
Edible flavors.
Some of them are like literally vomit and earwax. Like,
that's like kind of edible.
I mean, like,
it's not like they're like wood. This is grass flavored.
Is wood and grass less edible than vomit and earwax?
In theory, yeah.
I would say no. I would say grass and wood are more edible. Those are plants.
We can't digest either of those things.
I would say the tiering is actually from most to least edible: grass, vomit, then wood.
Then earwax, below wood.
Oh, I forgot about earwax. Earwax probably
not,
below vomit.
You will not convince me that grass is less edible than any of those things.
You can't digest grass.
I doubt you can digest earwax.
I bet you can. Or not like digest, but it's not going to cause as much problems.
How about palatable?
It's more palatable, sure. Absolutely.
It's called Every Flavor Beans. That specifies that the flavors available are all of them. Drywall could be a flavor. Paint is a flavor.
I don't know that that's true. I feel like they're saying every flavor is in, like, every flavor of food, like edible things.
Again, we've specified there are things in there that definitely aren't food.
J.K. Rowling.
Shut up.
So is human flesh then?
Ooh.
Is that what you're going to argue?
Is human flesh flavored? If there are every flavors, I'd be surprised that, yeah, flesh isn't one of them. We know people can grow back their limbs in Harry Potter. Okay. I think that there probably are people that cut up, like, yeah, just go full on Army Hammer, but like...
The Boys?
Yeah.
Yeah, Army Hammer's frantically Googling how to find platform 9 3/4 or whatever the fuck the platform is. God damn it.
All right, that is a fantastic point to do a clap sync. Move on to the wacky post roll. My ignorance, maybe, but do we know who Jean de La Fontaine is?
It sounds familiar.
I have a quote up today.
You said, oh, it's on the quote thing.
Yeah.
A French fabulist.
I'm guessing that's Jean de La Fontaine.
Jean. The most widely read French poet of the 17th century.
Ooh.
Well known for fables, which provided a model for subsequent fabulists. So... the word for someone who writes fables is fabulist, and I fucking love it.
You guys want to start a fable writing imprint now?
You guys want to be fabulous?
The fabulists. I mean, I saw the picture of him too, and you know, he looks like an old timey Frenchman. So I see fabulist, and I think, you know,
yeah.
He's a fabulous guy.
Power to him.
I didn't know what that meant. No, he wrote fables.
Yeah.
I don't know what the thing fables is. La Fontaine's fables.
I thought they were just fantasy stories.
Humorous, nuanced, and ironical.
Oh.
Who wrote this, Jean de La Fontaine?
Is ironical different from ironic?
I think... no?
I think... Ironic might be like a state of being. Ironical might be like a voice or like a theme or a genre type thing.
Ironical, using or prone to irony.
Okay, so I found the list of fables on the, like, in the collection that he published.
Oh.
And, like, a lot of them end up starting with the same... Like, there's three of them that start with the ass. The ass and his masters. The ass carrying relics. And the ass in the lion's skin.
He's an ass man.
Two of them... Mm. Two of them start with the bear. Two of them start with the cock. Three of them start with the dog. Two of them with the farmer. He sounds like a shitty preacher. Mm-hmm. Like when they do their sermons. There was a dog. And he lived just a really weird way to tell a story. It's like a very specific cadence and everything. Well, there's six of them that start with the fox. So that seems a favorite.
All right. Well, foxes are pretty common in fantastical storytelling, especially if they're geared towards children.
They're not, by the way.
Oh.
It was geared towards adults, but then became required learning for children. The monkey in labor. No, it's the mountain in labor. Sorry, that's almost weirder.
Okay.
There's four of them that start with the wolf, including the wolf and the shepherds and the wolf who played shepherd. So, the thieves and the ass.
Oh, wow. The ass got bumped to second billing?
Second billing on that one.
Mm.
Nah, the ass has really fallen off lately.
The ass had a great career in its younger days, in there, defined, tight, knocking it out of the park. Yeah, it's starting to slack off a little bit in the later years, not in as great shape as it was, and yeah, now it's second billing.
Now it's just the thieves and the ass.
There was also called the old man and the ass, so the ass got a couple of second billings.
Are we sure that this is in the later stages of the ass's career, or is this just how the ass came up?
Oh. Mm.
The ass had to pay its dues before it could properly ascend to stardom. The old man had paid its dues with the old man and his sons. So the old man had proven that it could lead a movie. The ass was still, a little green. They weren't sure. They thought, well, maybe if we give it second billing, it could win Best Supporting Nom, get a little buzz going. Because great performer. We just aren't sure if donkeys can sell movies internationally. I don't know. Domestically, we all know we accept donkeys. But, I don't know. Is China really going to accept a donkey? This was thinly veiled metaphor for... Hollywood racism.
The old man and his sons actually caused a falling out between the old man and his sons. Old man, far and away the breakout star of that one. And, oh boy, there was some resentment. There was some resentment once he just started taking up all the limelight.
Yeah. The old man also really had that falling out with the studio when they started billing him as the old man. Because he had staked his entire career on being the man, such as the man and the wooden idol and the man who runs after fortune. And, the spicy NC-17 take, the man with two mistresses. That's a rarely thought about gem.
The old man actually co-wrote that one.
Yeah. Wait, there's one called The Miller, His Son, and the Donkey. So there's a difference. There's an ass and a donkey.
It's not a donkey, guys.
It's just an ass. The ass and his masters. I love that the ass is presenting male. That's very progressive of the ass.
I was about to say half of these could be old-timey porno titles.
Yeah, no, that ass is definitely presenting.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. All right. Thank you all so much for tuning into episode 231 of the Quarantine Cast. If you like what you heard, please like, comment, subscribe, etc. Email us your questions and business opportunities to our email, volunteerviewing@gmail.com. Check us out on Patreon if you'd like to support us. I have a couple of great tiers. Check out the ActBlue link down below if you'd like to help a collection of great causes. Oh, yeah, also check us out on Instagram and YouTube. Have a fantastic highlight clip up today. Thank you again, Andrew, for not only editing that, but then also just the fantastic thumbnail you made for both of those. Mwah. I don't know how you're going to top yourself after this, but I know you're going to find a way. And then lastly, follow me on Twitter at Luke Strider for all of my writing. And then check out my Chainsaw Man article, also linked in the description down below. I'm going to be playing Bravely Default this weekend. I hope everyone listening doing something equally good to that. And good luck while you're doing that. Goodbye.
I thought you were... Sorry. I thought you were going to say, I'm going to be playing Bravely Default 2 this weekend. I hope everyone listening is going to do it as well. Everyone. And that means you.
Also, Bravely. Didn't say good luck.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
You did. I'm sorry. Did I miss? Oh, wow.
We got a transcript.
If I missed it, good luck, good luck, good luck.
I know he did not miss it. Let's go to the transcript. I hope everyone listening doing something equally good to that, and good luck while you're doing that. Goodbye.
Yeah. Goodbye for real this time. I'm stopping my recording.